You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to another Elm Park Royals preview podcast. This week I'm joined by Jonathan Lowe. How are you, Jonathan?
Hello, yes, all good, thank you, Matt. Yep, all fine.
We haven't spoken to you in a while, so I thought that we'd get your views on the points deduction. Obviously, it's been a couple of weeks now. I think that people have kind of accepted it. I guess it's just a case of getting on with the job at hand now.
Yeah, I think very much so. I think we'll only see the real extent of it later on in the season, to be honest, whether it is the difference between reaching the playoffs or hopefully avoiding a relegation scrap. Obviously, on the face of it, 6 points is, I think, not too bad, given what they did in terms of all the transfer fees and the wages and everything else, and well, just the way they actually threw money at so much and got very little reward for it, and also not showing any regard to the rules, really. So being given a 6-point deduction, as I say, it is a blow, but in the grand scheme of things, I think they can recover from it. I think they will survive, and hopefully, you know, it's not going to be sort of absolutely decisive at the end of the season. You know, if they miss out on the playoffs or whatever by 5 points, then you know, it's going to be a bit of a blow. But I think, you know, the main thing to take out of this is to avoid spending beyond your means, or certainly spending beyond the rules, and making sure that you don't make these same mistakes again, and ensuring that the club is stable and on some good footing going forward.
Yeah, and I mean, we had a couple of quotes from Dai Young, and it sounds positive, but obviously how much of that is PR and how much of that is actual Dai Young talking, it's always difficult to tell, isn't it? But yeah, let's not dwell on that, because it's been a couple of weeks now, and as I said, I think everyone's accepted it. And thankfully, I think that win against Swansea on Saturday has somewhat brightened the skies. It was a good 3 points.
Yeah, it was a really good away day, a surprising one as well, because obviously going into it there wasn't much expectation. I thought that they would lose and probably lose quite comfortably. However, they we faced them. They produced a really good performance, and even after going down so early, well, with seeing the first half and the second half, they responded really well, and it was a good team performance. So if they can take those performances, that level of performance going forward, then you know they've got a really good chance of picking up some good results in the coming weeks and months. So yeah, obviously, and yeah, going back to that points deduction, it does end the speculation, doesn't it, over what might or might not happen. And I think that's yeah, they can draw a line under it now and kick on. And like in the world of Reading FC, one week everything is all rosy, and next minute it's a bit down, and it was certainly down after that Sheffield United game last middle of last week, that Tuesday night. But they've responded really well, and hopefully now they can really kick on. They've got a week between games, which is, they've made a point of saying, and clearly with the injury list, that gives everyone a bit more time to recover, and allows Panovic to rest some players. And hopefully, you know, on paper they've got some winnable games coming up, and they can, you know, start looking up the table rather than fearing what's below them.
Yeah, it's quite funny, isn't it? Like, we talk about a packed Christmas schedule, but actually, Reading don't play midweek until between Christmas and New Year. So, I mean, I don't really know what the injury situation is like for some of the players. Obviously, Moore and Ajaria were added to that list this week, but at least there are, you know, opportunities to rest players and get some back. Do we know any players that might be close?
Well, I certainly think Ajaria and Moore, I don't think they'll be out for too long. Sort of Panovic was rather kind of guarded about the extent that they'll be out for after the Swansea City game. I think he said that he hopes to have them back at least in the next 2 weeks, so make of that what you will. But certainly a junior Hoylett posted a picture of his boots on Instagram this week, so that's hopefully some exciting news that he could be back in contention, because I mean, like with a few of the others, actually, they've meant to be back a few weeks ago and they haven't for whatever reason. But he's been out since the start of October, I think it is. So I would imagine he'll be this weekend, if not perhaps next weekend. And then, I mean, I'll be speaking to the manager actually quite soon. So we're getting an update on players like Andy Rinomota, and I'm quite sure what's happened to his ankle injury. Clearly, it's proving very troublesome. Tom McIntyre, I think he should be back in the next fortnight at the latest. Araruna, I think, as well. So, it's going to give Panovic some options and some dilemmas, and good dilemmas, because that's what he needs, and he can, you know, rest some players. And clearly, with the African Cup of Nations coming up as well, you've got Andy Yidom and Baba Rahman probably going away, so he needs to find some cover for them. So, some big decisions coming up, but hopefully he should be bolstered by having a few more players available.
Yeah, I mean, given that points deduction and the embargo, I don't think it's called an embargo anymore, but obviously the business plan that Reading have signed up to, bringing in players in January to cover for Rahman and Yidom might be a bit of an issue, but it's good news to hear Tom McIntyre might be close to coming back, because obviously he's likely the one to slot in at left back, I would think.
I would think so, yes. Obviously, you've got Ethan Bristow coming back from injury as well. He played for the under-23s on Monday night against Middlesbrough. Imari Samuels, he's injured as well. So, yeah, certainly at left-back, not too many options. Obviously, at right-back, I imagine it'll be between Tom Holmes and Felipe Araruna, providing they're both fit. In terms of bringing players in, I don't think they're going to be able to unless they get someone out, because they've got a squad of 25 players and that's all you're allowed. So unless they can get something in exceptional circumstances, I can't see them bringing anyone else in. I think, obviously, Carroll was the final one in that 25. It'll be, players playing out of position, which they've done last season. And obviously, McIntyre's played there. And I don't know who else can play left-back. Maybe Junior Hoylett, maybe left-back. Who knows? But maybe left-wing-back. But I'm sure that they'll cope somehow. If it is a case of not bringing anyone else in, I think with the players they've got, they've got enough quality.
I'd forgotten about the rules on the number of players we're allowed to have. That it's just too many now to keep track of with Reading. In some ways, the embargo was easier because it was just we weren't allowed to sign anyone, and that was easy to keep track of.
Well, but even then, there were kind of ways around it, weren't there? Sort of bringing loan players in and free agents and stuff. So there's no sort of blanket ban on signings. Like, I guess it'd be easy if there was, but even with this embargo, there has been ways around it, and I guess the clubs will always look to find ways around the rules so long as they can stick to them.
I think that we're playing Hull at almost exactly the wrong time. They've won four in their last four. But I mean, when you look at who they've played, they have played teams kind of in and around the bottom. and this is a horrible thing to say as a Reading fan, but I'm going into this game expecting a win, which never turns out well. Do you think that we should be confident ahead of Saturday?
Yeah, I think very much so. I think given last weekend's performance, the 3-2 win at Swansea, and the fact they've had a clear week, and hopefully they might get one or two players back from injury, I think there's every reason to be confident. Clearly, Hull are on a good run of form. However, that they've struggled overall this season, and you know, Reading, had they not had that point deduction, that they would be, I don't know how many points ahead, but they would be ahead of them in the table. I'm pretty sure they would be. So on paper, at least they should be a better side. It's always dangerous, isn't it, going into games expecting the team to win. They had that reverse effect last weekend when I thought they'd lose, and they won 3-2. So I imagine it'll be a tight game, but I think if Reading can bring their A game, that they should have enough quality to beat Hull.
Yeah, I always go into games where we should be, you know, the weaker team, almost expecting us to, well, no, not expecting us to pull something off, but knowing in the back of my mind that this Reading team have that capability to kind of go and nick games, as we've seen at Fulham, Cardiff and Swansea. Sometimes it has been the weaker teams that Paunovic has struggled against in his kind of 18 months here. Obviously, we lost at Wickham, which was a dire game. Only beat Wickham at home with kind of a long ball over the top that Zhao managed to turn into something. I'm hoping that this whole game doesn't go that way and does go a slightly easier way. There have been some easier wins as well. It's just obviously the ones that stick in the mind are not always the easy ones. They're the ones that take a bit more effort. Yeah. Do you have a prediction for Saturday in terms of a scoreline?
Well, I'll tell you what, your intro, I can't remember what game it was for, but the commentary on it said that Reading, someone scored and Reading won 3-1, and that's inspired me, I think. And I think I'm going to go for a 3-1 victory.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go 2-0. I'm hoping that we've got enough to see off Hull. And I think a two-goal margin anyhow would be nice rather than... I think there's only one game that Reading have won by more than one goal this season, and that was the Peterborough game. So a repeat of that would be lovely. If you know, it'd be nice not to be in the 90th minute desperately hoping that the away side don't manage to, you know, get a knockdown or something and find a draw.
Yeah, I think it'll be a bit more. I think it'll be quite an open game. So you know, had Hull lost their last four and really scrapping for survival, then they may well just come to Reading and try and get a point and put, you know, 10 men behind the ball. But I think, you know, they'll go for it, and that should suit Reading. So yeah, let's be positive and go for a home victory.
Oh, well, we love to be positive here. I mean, that may not come across all the time, but I promise I'm a positive person. Anyway, thank you very much, Jonathan. I'll let you go and sort out your shopping, which you were doing just before we came on.
Thank you. Yes, but now it's all right. I got my priorities right. So the podcast always takes priority.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That's good to hear. After the break, we will be speaking to Nathaniel from the To Hull and Back podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm here with Nathaniel from the Hull and Back podcast. How are you doing, Nathaniel?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not doing too badly, thanks. I mean, we were chatting just beforehand that if we were doing this a little bit earlier in the season, it might have been not as fun for you. Talk us through how the season's gone and recently, obviously, that turn in form.
Well, I mean, we started the season on a high after, you know, winning promotion, winning the league for the first time in however many years. We started really well. We had a lot of momentum from the first game, probably one of our best performances with a win away at Preston. And then immediately, the week after, we lost 3-0 to QPR. We didn't even play that badly, but from then on, and we got a red card as well, the momentum was completely gone. And we've had a lot of injuries as well, which hasn't helped. So from the first game to about four games ago, it's been quite miserable. I think we won one game in 13, and we couldn't score, and we couldn't keep a clean sheet. So, you know, if you can't do either of those things, it's not going to go very well. So, but recently, somehow, we've somehow won four in a row, which is, if you'd asked me that about 4 weeks ago, I would have said, you're completely insane. That's never going to happen. We're not even going to win four until the end of the year. So, a miraculous turn of events, and it's probably all been down to a change in formation. Where often kind of we criticize our manager as we keep with a 4-3-3 formation, so we're 4-3-3 FC, but recently we've gone three at the back or five at the back, and that's worked really well for us. So great start, terrible until 4 weeks ago, and then great again.
Yeah, so like what was the problem? Yeah, I mean, you said the problem was scoring goals and keeping clean sheets, obviously bad. Yeah, so why couldn't you score goals? Like what was the issue there?
Well, we weren't really creating any chances. And then when we did create them, we don't really have the strikers to finish the chances. Even though we are playing well, our two strikers at the moment, they're probably the only players you could argue aren't living up to expectations. I mean, last season, I've mentioned it on our own podcast time and time again. Last season, we were one of the best teams from set pieces seemingly in the world. We scored a set piece almost every other week. But this year, it took 95 corners for us to score. And I did a tweet saying, oh, are we going to get to 100? And then immediately we scored our first set piece goal away at Cardiff a few games ago, which was a good stroke of luck and a big coincidence. So we weren't scoring from set pieces, which was one of the main things we did last year, and we weren't creating any chances. We just and a lot of that was down to Wilkes, who had a great season last year, and he's just been nowhere near as good as he was last year, and he breaks down our play like more than the opposition defenders do sometimes, which maybe is a bit cruel to say, but it's he just needs a kick up his ass really, and you know, drop him for a game, and maybe he'll get his mojo back. But really, nothing went very well. That's why we weren't scoring goals.
Yeah, because I mean, Malik Wilkes, even last time, you know, a couple of seasons back when you were in the Championship, I thought he looked a pretty decent striker.
When he was,
yeah, I mean, in some ways, he's kind of like Adama Traore light. He's clearly a very strong man, got a lot of pace. But yeah, just he's not, he's only got two goals in 14 starts this year. Josh McGuinness has two goals in 14 starts as well.
Doesn't look very good, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It's not promising.
You've got George Honeyman, who's got 3 and 8 from midfield, and Lewis Potter has 4 in 20, which, you know, still not great, but still better. Is it that midfield contribution that's kind of coming to the fore now?
Yeah, I mean, Honeyman was our best player last season, and one of our better players in the back end of last year, two seasons ago, when we had that terrible run of form and got relegated. He's finally back from injury and fully firing. So he's got, he created or scored 4 of the 7 goals in the last month, I think. So fortunately, we've got him back, and we do really need to rely on our wing backs. So that'll be my favourite player, Ryan Longman, and Lewis Potter, and Honeyman. Because as I said before, the strikers just aren't doing it at all. So we do really need to sign a striker, as we've been saying since the summer, in the transfer window.
Yeah, I mean, I remember talking before the season started, your summer was a bit interesting, wasn't it? Because you kind of signed too many players and then couldn't register them all or something?
Yeah, fortunately, I think we were able to register them all in the end, but there seemed to be a lot of confusion from the EFL as to who we could sign and what ages they were and loans. And it was all very complicated. We weren't able to really sign anyone that improved the squad. It's kind of funny, though, that we signed all these players. McCann said, they're all great contributions. And then once all the players from last season have been fit, we've just been playing the team that won League One. So clearly they didn't improve the team. But at the moment, it's only the loan signings that we made in the summer that are playing. All the permanent transfers aren't getting a look in. We're helping these loan players in their development, but not going to help us, down the line.
Yeah, and one of those loan players, I think, if I haven't got this wrong, is Nathan Baxter in goal.
Yeah.
You were saying that you haven't kept many clean sheets. He's come into the team and kept three in his last four. Is he a big part of that, or is it just that your defence has been better since switching to the five at the back?
I think it's both make good contributions to that. It's a really odd thing that over the international break, we switched from Matt Ingram, who a lot of people would say was our best player. So we dropped our best player and it's improved us somehow. I don't know how that works, but it happened. So because Ingram was making a lot of good saves and he was one of our best players, but we dropped him. There is a bit of talk as to maybe that was Chelsea getting involved, saying Baxter's here on loan, he's not playing enough. But he's got three clean sheets and four now, three in a row. Made some really great saves, and I think that as well as the change to the formation 3-5-2, both of those have been equally important. But it's just really ironic that we took our best player out and we're actually winning now.
Yeah, I mean, I've had that loan discussion a lot on a Football Manager, where you've sent someone off on loan and they're not getting the game time promise. So I assume that happens in the real world as well, and that they've taken inspiration from somewhere. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely worked for you. Grant McCann obviously came under a bit of stick at the beginning of this season. He came under a bit of stick at the end of your last championship campaign. He obviously did a good job in getting you guys back up. Where is the fan base with him now?
Well, I think a lot of fans will never, even after winning the league last season, will never give him a fair shot because of just how bad it was when we got relegated. I mean, it was 6 points from 66. I mean, we could do better a job than that. And that's not even a lie. Like, we could fluke two wins in 20 games. I'm sure we could do that, but he couldn't. So really, if we had owners that cared about how well the club does, McCann probably would have been sacked about three or four times in his tenure. But at the moment, we're going quite well. So we wouldn't sack him from the last four wins. But, for maybe the previous 10 games before that, everyone wanted him out.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few clubs that have not the same predicament as yours, but I remember Gareth Ainsworth has been on terrible runs and kind of turned that around at Wickham. The old Exeter manager, whose name escapes me now, he got put not on gardening leave, but he knew within a year that he was going to leave the club, and yet kind of turned things around there. So sometimes that can work out well for you. And hopefully four wins on the back of four wins out of four. I'm hoping it doesn't turn into five out of five.
I mean, I hope it does, but we'll take a draw. I think on our podcast to be recorded, we'd all take a draw.
Yeah.
Because we just need to keep the unbeaten streak going.
Yeah. Where do you think that you can go from here? Do you think that this is, I don't want to say blip, because that feels wrong because you're going up rather than down, but do you think this is a momentary gain of form before it kind of reverts back to where you were, or do you think that this is something that you can continue?
I mean, absolutely no idea. I mean, it's so strange that we were so terrible and then we've just immediately changed to being not great, but like a, just a proper team. Like we look like a proper team of players rather than just a bunch of, you know, headless chickens running around. So I think, I mean, this is probably better than I thought we could be. Like I never thought we'd win four in a row this season. We're probably about, like, I think we're 20th or 19th. That's probably about where I thought we would be at the start of the season. So if the four wins were spread out a bit, that'd be more reasonable. But, I mean, hopefully we can keep the form going. But it'll be interesting to see what happens when our alleged proposed takeover happens, because whether that could, you know, improve form even more or keep it going, or something will change. And then we could, you know, in just two or three games, it could happen. Maybe the momentum will go somehow. So it's really difficult to tell what's going to happen. But I don't think we're going to be playing as well as this for very long.
Well, and Saturday is a bit of a six-pointer. It feels wrong to say that so early in the season. But obviously, Reading in 21st with 20 points. Hull, as you say, in 19th with 21. Whoever gets this win probably is going to, you know, at least put some distance between them and Peterborough in 22nd, mm-hmm. which I think for both of us is probably the goal here.
Yeah.
How confident are you in turning up to the what is now the Select Car Leasing Stadium and nabbing 3 points?
Well, we've won our last four games, last two away games, but those away games have been against Barnsley and Cardiff. And I know they've both had new managers, so maybe they would be playing a bit better. But both of those have been sides right down the bottom. And although Reading are quite close to the bottom, you don't deserve to be because of the points deduction. So it'll be interesting to see how we fare against, you know, what should be a mid-table team based on the, you know, wins. How we fare against a side like that away from home. Because although we've beaten solid mid-table teams, Millwall and Birmingham, that's been with the home support. So I'm not confident we'll win. I think we definitely could if we turn up, but it's just one of those, you know, six-pointer championship games. Anything could happen, really.
I mean, are there any players that Reading fans should look out for particularly on Saturday?
Not Wilkes. I mean, Honeyman runs the game all the time, literally and metaphorically, you know, with the ball, and also just runs everywhere. So look out for Honeyman buzzing around, pun intended. And then, yeah, Lewis Potter is a player that has been on great form, scoring and the skills that he's showing off. He's a really exciting player to watch, I think, for maybe more annoyingly so for opposition fans, but he's a really talented prospect.
Yeah, George Honeyman, the fact he's 27 blows my mind at this point. Like, obviously...
Is he really 27?
Yeah, apparently so, yeah. He is 27 and 84 days. One of the stars of Sunderland Till I Die, that initial series, at least, before he moved on. Yeah, I mean, in my head, he's still about 21, 22, so...
Mine too.
I'd like for him to do well, because, like, I mean, everyone came across fairly well in that Sunderland Till I Die documentary, but he especially, well, all the players, maybe not the upper management, but that's something else anyway. Yeah, so do you have a score prediction? Are you going to stick your neck out on the line?
Well, not really. I'll go for a boring 1-1 draw. So that's not really sticking my head out at all.
Well, you know, it's perfectly reasonable, isn't it? From a Reading perspective, this is one of the games where, on paper at least, we probably should be winning. And mm-hmm. and based on our fit squad, winning fairly comfortably, but we also don't really have a fit squad. So it's sometimes difficult to tell what Reading side will turn up, both in the sense that how well they will play, but also literally what players will be on the pitch sometimes. Mm. So it's always interesting. I'd like to think that we'd win this one fairly comfortably. So I'm going to say 2-0 Reading and then get very upset when we inevitably lose 1-0 in like the 90th minute or something.
Well, I'd love that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think that Normally, I think I just go the opposite way to the way that Reading should do, because normally I'm like, oh no, let's be optimistic. I think we're going to win this one, but Reading never win the games they're supposed to. I mean, we beat Swansea at last weekend, and yet never in a million years should have won that based on their form and whatnot. So, yeah. So one final question is just like, how confident are you about avoiding the drop? Because I know you've said you're kind of not confident about how well you'll keep up this form, but like over the course of the season, do you think that you have enough?
Well, I mean, I think if the takeover goes through, then I'm quite confident because we're playing well at the moment and there is a good basis of a team here. As long as we sign a striker, I mean, that's what every championship team or every team in almost any sport, maybe even with, you know, that has strikers. Oh, let's sign a new striker in the window. That'll solve all our problems magically. But if we do that, I'm quite confident. I mean, four games ago, we're completely doomed. And now on this form, we could eventually get into the playoffs somehow. But I think, as I said before, this is probably around our spot in the table we should be in. So if we can just play like this a little bit more consistently, especially at home, because our home form had been awful, then more confident than the form, you know, should allow me to be, you know, before four games ago.
Yeah, well, that's positive. And whatever the result on Saturday, I wish you luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, same.
Thank you very much, Nathaniel. I hope that it's an enjoyable watch, whatever happens. Paul and the rest of the gang, or maybe not Paul, depending on who's hosting, but we'll be back after the game for some post-match analysis.